Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be continuing to try to answer this hot topic, or better yet, maybe applicable question. What is an excellent minister of Christ Jesus? Now, if you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been taking a look at this topic. Week number one, we saw that an excellent minister of Christ Jesus is, number one, a protecting shepherd, number two, a humble servant, number three, a serious student. Last week, we saw that an excellent minister of Christ Jesus avoids ungodly influences. He protects his mind. And number two on that, what we learned last week, is that an excellent minister trains to godliness, eusebia, reverence, piety, spiritual virtue. Now, again, just to get us into the context here, and then we'll go into a few more qualities of an excellent minister. We're getting these qualities from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. The Apostle Paul was writing to a young pastor, a young minister by the name of Timothy. Paul had shared the gospel on his first missionary journey, and it was there in Lystra that Timothy had trusted in the Lord, and Timothy became the Apostle Paul's son, spiritual son in the Lord. Well, on Paul's second missionary journey, he picked up Timothy. And Timothy accompanied Paul not only in his second missionary journey, but he accompanied him many, many places, including to this church here in 1 Timothy, the church of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul had earlier ministered in this church. He'd been there 3 years. It was a glorious church, wonderful, godly elders, teaching sound doctrine. Paul had warned the elders before he left. He said, guys, you've got to make sure you stay and be focused on being excellent ministers. Stay strong in the word. Teach sound doctrine, because savage wolves, meaning false teachers, are going to want to come from the outside into the church and devour the flock of God. Even savage wolves, Paul said, from within your own number, i.e. the elder board, are going to raise up and try to devour the flock from within. Well, Paul left the church. 8 years later, he and Timothy show up to this once glorious church in Ephesus. Paul was expecting, obviously, to see something great, same thing like what he left behind. Instead, he found an absolute mess there. The false teachers were on the elder board, as Paul had warned them 8 years earlier. The savage wolves came from within, and they were devouring the flock of God, the sheep. And how are they devouring them? False teaching. And therefore, that false teaching led to all kinds of ungodly behavior in the church services. So when Paul showed up there with Timothy, I mean, Paul was, he was beside himself. And he excommunicated two of the elders and made sure that that church knew that Paul was disappointed. Well, Paul ended up leaving, and he went and visited some other churches in Macedonia, but he left young Timothy, who was in his mid-30s at the time, left Timothy behind to continue to clean up the mess. Well, when Paul arrived in Macedonia, he quickly wrote this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this first letter to Timothy that we're studying today. And he wrote this letter to encourage Timothy, to tell Timothy, hey, finish the job. Get rid of the false teachers. Clean up the corrupt worship services. Raise up godly elders and godly deacons. And make sure, Timothy, that you understand what God's qualities are of an excellent minister. Our section for today. You see, it seems that the people in the church there were looking down on Timothy because he was rather young for a pastor back then. They certainly were upset because Timothy was associated with Paul. You know, Paul, the guy who blew up the elder board. So Timothy had a rough go of it in this church. And I'm sure there were many people there in that church who were telling Timothy what they believe were the right qualities of an excellent minister. Timothy, you're not doing this correctly. Timothy, you need to be speaking this way. Timothy, your sermons are too long. Timothy, your sermons are too boring. Timothy, you're not out fundraising properly. Timothy, we need to build another building. Timothy, we need to do this. We need to do that. And they were trying to impose their own beliefs as to what an excellent minister was. And that's why Paul in this section says to Timothy, stop, Timothy, stop. Stop listening to others. Timothy, let me tell you what God's qualities are for an excellent minister. And as if you recall, if you were with us the last 2 weeks, our key anchor statement in this section is in verse 6, part B, where Paul says to Timothy, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Good, in the Greek, the word is kalos, which means excellent. Minister, in the Greek, the Greek word is a diakonos, which means servant, just a general servant. So any Christian is a servant of Christ, right? A diakonos. So there's really two things here, two audiences I believe Paul is speaking to here. Number one, in the immediate context, he is speaking to Timothy, a young pastor, and he's saying these are the qualities of what a kalos or excellent servant, minister, pastor, elder is of Christ Jesus. But I think the extended context can go wider than just talking about pastors and elders. I think it can talk about all Christians. Because again, all Christians are servants of Christ, diakonos. So whether you're an ordained pastor listening to this, maybe you're planning one day to be an ordained pastor, or maybe you'll never be an ordained pastor, but you're a Christian. Guess what? This section applies to you as well. God, in this section, gives the Apostle Paul, who in turn gives Timothy, 11 qualities of an excellent minister servant. And again, in verse 6, we saw three of those qualities. An excellent minister is a protecting shepherd. He warns his people, the flock of God, about the dangers of the sin nature, of the evil world system run by Satan, and the dangers of all the temptations that Satan sets up out there. An excellent minister protects the flock of God. And again, whether you're preaching from the pulpit, and that's your flock that God's entrusted to you, maybe you're leading a small group, and that's the flock God's entrusted to you, maybe you're ministering to somebody one-on-one, that's the flock God has entrusted to you. Whatever size that God has entrusted to you is not the big deal. The big deal is you got to protect the flock of God. You know, the flock of God, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where the Apostle Paul says, it's the Father's flock purchased by the precious blood of the Son, of which pastors, elders have been made overseers of that flock. And again, if you're leading a small group, you've been made an overseer of a group. Maybe you're not a pastor, elder in terms of an official position there and, you know, preaching, you know, from the pulpit and so forth, and being on the elder board. But nevertheless, if you're leading a small group, if you're ministering to somebody one-on-one, you are pastoring, shepherding that person, right? You got to protect them, warn them. Number two, an excellent minister, there again in verse 6, is a humble servant. You're not the star. Jesus Christ, you're an excellent minister of Christ Jesus. That's the key. He's the captain. We keep rowing. The Greek word is huporetes, like third-level galley slaves chained to a seat at the bottom of a large trireme, a ship, and you've got oars that are chained to you, and you're just rowing and rowing and rowing. That is what another quality of an excellent minister, a humble servant. You're not the star. And again, as I said on the last show, this idea of mega pastor, mega churches, mega personality. Guys, that's not the picture of a humble servant, okay? The only megas in the church is Jesus Christ, because megas literally means great and exalted one. Jesus Christ is the megas of his church. No man, no human is. Third quality of an excellent minister is that the excellent minister is a serious student who nourishes himself constantly on the truths of the faith and the sound doctrine given by God in his word. Listen, If you're not studying God's Word and nourishing yourself on the truths of the faith every day, you have nothing to give out to others. You don't want to be giving your opinions. You don't want to be giving your theories. You certainly don't want to give something you heard on social media or on the TV. You want to be able to nourish yourself on God's truth so you then can share the wonderful words of God's truth with others. And again, one of the things that just drives me crazy, Danielle and I this summer took 2 weeks and we went on kind of a drive throughout parts of Europe, and we went to Geneva and saw the place where John Calvin pastored, and we saw the Reformed Museum. I mean, it was just a glorious time. And we ended up going to a church there, and boy, you could just tell that the gentleman was preaching, nice guy, wasn't preaching any heresy or anything, but you could just tell he didn't prepare. You could just tell he had not nourished himself on God's truth in preparation for the message. And he basically just had a couple cutesy ideas that he took a verse here, a verse there, a verse here, and a verse there, and connected them to those cutesy ideas, and there was his message. Well, again, there was nothing offensive about his message, nothing heretical about his message, but there was nothing nourishing from his message. You see? That's because he had not nourished himself, and therefore he couldn't nourish the flock of God. You've got to feed yourself on God's truth. And if you think that you can just get away with reading a verse a day to keep the devil away, first of all, that's not nourishing yourself, and you're certainly not going to be able to nourish others. And then last week we learned two other qualities of an excellent minister. We saw an excellent minister avoids ungodly influences, such as myths and genealogies and old wives' tales. And again, you know, you've got to protect your mind. You've got to avoid ungodly influences. We talked last week, the fact that I think social media is a very dangerous place. Certainly, I'm not saying that all things on social media are of the devil, but you got to be careful. You have to be careful. And think about what you're exposing your mind to. Because again, you think of the saying, garbage in, garbage out. If you're not protecting yourself from ungodly influence, ungodly, bebelos is the Greek word, that which is profane, unholy, ungodly. Again, what comes into your mind is going to come out of your mouth. It's going to come out through your actions. You've got to protect yourself from ungodly influences. God says in his word, that's a quality of an excellent minister. And then the other one that we learned last week, that quality of an excellent minister is someone who trains himself, disciplines himself to godliness. The word in the Greek for godliness is eusebia, holiness, virtue, purity. You've got to train yourself. The Greek word for train is gymnasia. That's where we get our word from gymnasium or for gymnastics. You've got to train yourself for godliness, discipline yourself for godliness. Look, physical training has some value, but godliness holds value to all things in this present life and the life to come. And this is a trustworthy saying. Train yourself to godliness. Because the more that you reflect Christ-like character, the more Christ-like character you're going to be able to show and share with others. So as we go to our break, an excellent minister, number one, is a protecting shepherd. Number two is a humble servant. Number three is a serious student. Number four avoids ungodly influences. And number five trains himself to godliness. And we'll see some more qualities after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where today we are on the third part of our series where we're attempting to answer this question. What is an excellent minister? Again, if you've been with us in this series, you know, a lot of times people today will say, okay, an excellent minister is somebody who preaches short messages, funny messages, interesting messages, an excellent minister, or somebody who can balance big budgets, build all kinds of buildings, plant all kinds of churches. An excellent minister, some people say, is a guy who's constantly on TV, radio, and is very famous, writes a lot of books. It's interesting, as we look at what God has to say in his Bible, in his word, I should say, about the qualities of an excellent minister, you don't see any of those qualities I just named. And again, where we get these qualities of an excellent minister, they're found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16, where the Apostle Paul is writing to a young minister, Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, here are the 11 qualities from God of an excellent minister. And again, as we said on the first part of the show, the Greek word for minister is diakonos, which literally means servant in general. So any Christian is a diakonos, a servant of Christ. So even though in the immediate context, the Apostle Paul is giving these qualities of an excellent minister to a pastor, an elder, I think we can extend this context and say, you know, these 11 qualities are applicable to all Christians because all Christians serve Christ, right? And again, just the quick review of the first five qualities we learned of an excellent minister. Those were in verses 6 through 9. Paul said to Timothy, an excellent minister is a protecting shepherd. An excellent minister is a humble servant. An excellent minister is a serious student. An excellent minister avoids ungodly influences. An excellent minister trains for godliness. And as we continue now and look at quality number 6, here in verse 10, Paul says, an excellent minister is somebody who gives maximum effort when it comes to training for godliness. Paul says that's why we labor. The Greek word is kopeo, working to the point of exhaustion. He says that's why we labor and strive. The Greek word is agonizai, where we get our English word agonize. Paul says this is why we labor to the point of exhaustion and strive to the point of agony, because the goal is godliness. Whether you're an ordained pastor, whether you're planning to be an ordained pastor, whether you are a Christian who will never be an ordained pastor, we all have the same goal: godliness, eusebia, piety, reverence, spiritual virtue. And we need to labor to the point of exhaustion. We need to strive to the point of agony, of godliness. Because as Paul said, we put our hope in the living God, who, by the way, is the Savior of all people in general, in a temporal sense. He blesses believers and non-believers in the temporal sense. But in the true eternal sense, he is the Savior of all people, especially, specifically, in other words, the Greek word melista, of believers. So listen, the reason why we train ourselves for godliness, the reason why we give maximum effort for godliness, is because, first of all, we want to bring glory to God. We want to walk in obedience to God. And second of all, we know that God will use our godly lives to bring others to salvation, because God is the Savior. And he's got other people out there, just like you and me, Christian, that he has chosen before the foundation of time. And he wants to use people like you and me. And one of the qualities of an excellent minister is that he trains for godliness. Another quality of an excellent minister is he gives maximum effort in this. There's no laziness. There's no throwing in the towel. There's no saying, well, I'm not seeing the results I want to see and I'm going to give up. No. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says in verse 3, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Boy, that's a great invitation, huh? Yeah. Welcome to the world of Christianity. Listen, it's going to cost you. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul says, whoever wants to live a godly Eusebia life will be persecuted. But we give maximum effort. Back in 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, we give maximum effort. Listen, laziness, this idea of wanting to be the star, this idea of wanting to be popular, Let me tell you something. None of those ideas fit into the qualities that God gives when it comes to an excellent minister. You give maximum effort to the point of exhaustion and agony when it comes to protecting the people God's entrusted to you. When it comes to being a humble servant and rowing for Christ Jesus. When it comes to being a serious student and nourishing yourself on the truths of the faith. When it comes to avoiding ungodly influences, you protect your mind and you do it with maximum effort. And when it comes to training to godliness, you do it with maximum effort. You give your best. Listen, Olympic athletes, they train and train and train with maximum effort to win a prize that doesn't last throughout eternity. A prize that's perishable. Yes, it's important, but it's only for this life. Christian, we are looking forward to the prize, the calling in heaven, the rewards in heaven, and we want to give our maximum to give glory to God and to see God work in and through us to save souls so they can give glory to God. An excellent minister gives maximum effort. Think about your life over the last week or two when it comes to your training for godliness. Did you train to the point of exhaustion and agony? Or did you only do that type of training when you went to the gym? Working on your physical body. Quality number 7. The Apostle Paul says that an excellent minister in verse 11 of chapter 4, 1 Timothy, teaches with authority and boldness. In verse 11, Paul says to Timothy, command, pedangelo is the Greek word, command, give an order. Teach with authority, give a charge, command and teach these things. What things? Well, the qualities of an excellent minister that we just have been reviewing. And beyond. In fact, these things refer to the entirety of Scripture, the whole counsel of God. Listen, you can't give suggestions when you're ministering to people. You've got to teach with authority. Now, listen very carefully. It's not like you and I have the authority. We are fallen human beings. A lot of times people say to me, because I'm an ordained pastor, that I'm the authority of the church. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have no authority based on the fact that I'm an ordained pastor. I have no authority based on the fact that Daniel and I came to Croatia to plant the church and churches we have here. I have no authority based upon my experience. I have no authority based upon my gifts. I have no authority based upon I'm taller than somebody or shorter than somebody, better looking than somebody or not better looking than somebody. I have no authority. The only authority I have is when I'm standing in the pulpit and I am preaching, teaching God's authoritative word. God's authority speaks in and through me as I teach his word, and the words then I speak have authority because I am speaking the very words of God. I tell our seminary students this all the time. When you're on the pulpit, that pulpit is your boundary. In fact, you can even make a smaller boundary. The Bible that's open in front of you on that pulpit, that's your boundary. Those are your boundary lines. If you go outside of those boundary lines and you start getting cutesy, you start using your own clever illustrations, you start using somebody else's illustrations, you want to get funny, let me tell you something. You may hold people's interest for a while, but your words have no authority. And I have to tell you something. I want to be an excellent minister, don't you? Whether you're ministering from the pulpit, whether you're ministering in a small group, whether you're ministering one-on-one, you want to be able to speak with authority. And boldness. Boldness, by the way, the Greek word is paresia. It doesn't mean tone of voice, like my tone is now kind of excited. No, paresia, boldness, literally means all speech. That means that you give the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And as Charles Spurgeon said, when you're speaking with boldness, the problem people will have with you is not that they don't understand you, it's that they clearly understand you. And when you're speaking the whole counsel of God's whole truth, there are going to be times that the words you speak are going to be words of comfort, but there are going to be times when the words you speak are going to be words that offend people, cut people. Now, again, they're not your words. They're the words of the living God. And you do not have the right to edit God. What do I mean by that? I say this all the time to our guys here. That's why when we preach sequentially, verse by verse. Basically, God's word, I believe it was Dr. Steve Lawson who I heard this illustration from. God's word, the text, is like the boat that the water skier is behind. God's text drives. The preacher is the water skier. Wherever the boat goes, the skier goes, right? So whenever you teach and preach sequentially through God's word is the boat. You're just a water skier. And so there are going to be times when the boat takes you over some rough patches of water. That's where you're going to have to maybe give words to people that they don't want to hear. But guess what? Who cares? You're giving God's words. Don't you dare edit God. There are going to be other times when the boat takes you over clear glass water, smooth, comforting words. But you've got to have the proper balance. And how do you have the proper balance? You let God's word provide the proper balance. God inspired his word. I believe God knows how to give proper balance in his word. So you speak with authority as you speak God's words. You speak with boldness, all speech, no ambiguity, clear. You do that as you speak God's words. And an excellent minister will speak with authority and boldness. Again, not your authority, not my authority, but with the authoritative words of God. Listen, you think the devil is going to release one of your loved ones from his clutches just based on your words? Are you kidding me? Or based on my words? But boy, he doesn't stand a chance when it comes to the authoritative word of God, because God's words have authority and power. So Christian, you want to be an excellent minister? Be a protecting shepherd. Be a humble servant. Be a serious student. Avoid ungodly influences. Train yourself to godliness. Give maximum effort. And what we just learned now is teach with authority and boldness, and trust the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and impact the people of God, all for the glory of God. Amen. Have a good day.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.